to surprise you this morning. I'm gonna preach on a subject that you've never heard me preach on Sunday morning, probably, in the almost quarter of a century I've been pastor of this church. I do not know if I've ever preached on this subject on a Sunday morning. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because of the length of the service is not as long as Sunday night. The message is shorter, somewhat longer than Brother Wirt's message to Brother Randy a while ago, with all respect to Brother Wardway's slander. But also, it's a subject I don't like to preach about. It causes me to think about loved ones and friends of mine who may be, well, I'm speaking on the subject this morning, why hell? This will not be a hell, fire, and damnation sermon, though I have been known to preach it. This is not the one. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to your mind as well as your heart. I want to talk to your culture. I want to speak to your refinement this morning. There are probably more brilliant minds in this room this morning than in any other church in America. Really, I mean that. I want you to really give me a hearing this morning. You've never heard a sermon like this in your life. You never have. I've never preached one like this in my life. But you're going to have to listen carefully, because I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, why hell? Why is there a hell? It's not easy for me to preach on this, because my own father died outside of Christ, as far as I know. And because, to be quite frank with you, the thought of a hell pricks my culture. I don't mean I'm a cultured man, but it pricks my refinement, the thought of it. The thought of people dying and burning forever just does not, it bothers me. It's not easy for me to accept. I accept it for one reason. Because when I was a young man, a boy, my mother taught me this book was the Word of God. She taught me every word of it was the Word of God. And I made a mistake and went for a year to the University of Texas. And godless professors stood behind desks and said to me that the Bible is not the Word of God. They laughed at my mother's faith. They laughed at my preacher's Bible. They laughed at the Word of God. And to be quite frank with you, I, like any other person that does that, but my faith was shaken. And about halfway through that year, I was doubting the fact that the Bible was the Word of God. That's why I thank God that there's a school like Hiles Anderson College. But I doubt it. And so I don't mean I didn't believe it. I just didn't know. They shook my faith. Mama said it was the Word of God. My preacher said it. But my professor, who was supposed to be a PhD, he said it wasn't. And so I decided to do something. I decided to take the Bible and start with the first verse of Genesis, and to read every word of the book on my knees. I decided to get on my knees and read the Bible through on my knees. And every time I read it, I asked God to reveal to me, is it true? If it's true, let me know. And I spent 3 or 4 months, and I read every word of this book on my knees. And by the time I did it, when I got through, I believed that Mama was right. Now this morning, I do not believe I'm an intellectual nut. I do not believe that my mind is illogical. I do not claim to be a genius, nor an intellectual, nor do I claim to be an idiot or a moron. I believe I'm as mentally intelligent as some of the folks who think I'm a screwball, and who I think are screwballs. So I believe this book. Because I believe this book, I believe every word in it is true. And since I believe every word in it is true, when the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all those forget God, I have to believe it. Now, it tricks my culture. But I believe it because the Bible says it. And the Bible says, then shall they say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I believe it. I don't want to believe it. I wish I didn't have to believe it, but I believe it. Why? Because I'm convinced that that's the Word of God right there. Now, follow me carefully. And this is not easy for me. When I was a young man, I'd rather preach on sin than forgiveness, but not anymore. I'd far rather preach on forgiveness than on sin now. When I was a young man, I used to rather preach on the wrath of God than the love of God, but those days are gone. You give me a chance to preach on the love of God, and I'd rather 10-1 to preach on the love of God than the wrath of God. There was a day when I was a young preacher, I'd rather preach on judgment than mercy, but no longer. I preach on judgment, but I'd rather preach on mercy. There was a day when I would rather preach on the coming of Christ, but today I'd rather preach on the Christ that's coming. I always shrink from this subject, but I must preach it because it's in the Bible. So here goes. Illustration. It's corny. Illustration. It's silly, but it's perfect illustration. Years ago, when I was pastor of the Grange Hall Baptist Church outside the city of Marshall, Texas, on Highway 43, about 10 miles toward Henderson, Texas, country preacher. We had a little parsonage next door to the church, and on the back porch, we had a well. Had a pump on it. Had a well. Parsonage was valued at $2,000, and that was an extravagant evaluation. We had a rat lived on the back porch. I don't mean a bass section of the choir. I mean a real rat. And the rat was about that long. Oh, it's about that long. Texas rat. And not that long. So we tried everything. We put a rat trap out there, and he thought it was a prison, a toy. We put rat poisoning. He gained weight on the stuff. But so I got a big trap, a big rat trap, and put it out there on the back porch. Going to get it. We had a little dog, an Airedale Terrier, named Pookie. I don't know how to spell it. Kind of dog didn't know if he had any eyes or not. He couldn't see through his hair. Had a cane with him, a white tip on the end of it, and. Some of this message is true, some's not. We had a little Airedale Terrier dog named Pookie. One day, I heard the trap go off. Don't get ahead of me. And I said, I caught it. I caught it. And I heard the loudest noise and the most strange noise a rat ever made. I rushed the back porch to catch the prey and take it down to the taxidermist for mounting. And there was Pookie caught in the trap. Now, this is as perfect an illustration as you'd ever hear about why there's a hell. Now, follow me. The trap wasn't set for Pookie. Trap was set for Ratty, the rat. But it was set, and since it was set, when Pookie got his paw in the wrong place, he got caught, just like the rat got caught. Now, several things, and I want you to hear me. I'm not going to be dynamic. I'm not going to be overly humorous. I'm not going to be emotional, but I want to give you this morning something you ought to hear. Everybody in this room ought to hear what I'm going to say. First, God created the angels. Now listen. He made them as ministering servants. He created three groups of angels. He placed an archangel over each group. Here's one group of angels. The archangel Lucifer was placed over that group of angels. Here's the second group, a group of angels that were used as messengers. The archangel Gabriel was placed over that group. Here's the third group, the group of angels to whom was given the ministry of the fighting for God's people. The archangel Michael was placed, Michael was placed over those angels. Now you've got three groups of angels. You've got one third under Lucifer. You got one third under Gabriel. You got one third under Micah. Now, second thing I want to say. First thing I said, God created angels. Number two, God made a place of suffering. Now listen, He made a place of suffering. This place, the Bible says, was a place of fire. The Bible says this place was a place of conscience and memory, where you would remember your opportunities not to come there. And God called this place hell. Now, I'll tell you something. There was not one single man on the face of the earth when God made hell. Not one. God didn't make hell for man. God set the trap for the angels, just like we set the trap for the rat. Now, so, what happened? God placed that place as a price on sin if the angels sinned. Now hear me? Here's the trap set. Now God didn't want the angels to sin, but God said, here's hell, and here are the angels. Now, God said, if you sin, you've got to go to hell and spend eternity there. Not talking about man, talking about angels. Number one, I said, God created angels. Number two, I said, God made a place of suffering. Number three, I said, God placed that place called hell as a price if angels ever sin. Are you with me? All right. God made angels, He made hell, and He placed hell as a price for angels to pay if angels ever sin. Number four, they were fully warned. God told Michael, he said, if you sin, you, and if your angels sin, they'll go to hell. He said, now, Lucifer, you and your angels hear me now. If you sin, the price on that sin is hell. God said to Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, and all the angels, God said, I have made a place for you if you sin. I want to say again, God never made hell for one single human being. God never did. He set the trap. Now, one third of those angels sinned. Hear me now? Lucifer and his angels rebelled against God. Lucifer said, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend into the heavens, and the sin of pride came. And when pride came, Lucifer said, I'll rebel and cause insurrection in heaven, and I, the second in command, will become the first in command, and because God had already placed, hear me now, God had already set the price on sin. He had a place prepared, so what happened? One third sin, and that leads us now to my sixth statement. My first statement is, God created angels. My second statement is, God made a place of suffering. My third statement is, God placed that place as a price in case the angels sinned. My fourth statement is, they were fully warned. My fifth statement is, one-third sinned unto Lucifer. My sixth statement is, God had no choice but to do what He said He'd do. Because if God's word is not good, God is not God. And so because God's word is always true, God said, I've got to do it. That's why Matthew 25:41 says, then shall it say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his sin. For the and his, everybody said, for the devil and his. Okay, so bear in mind this now, there was no man yet. There was no Adam in the Garden of Eden. Not one human being
had ever been created or born, there was no man. So, we have God made angel. Two, he made a place of suffering, hell. Three, he placed that as a price for angels if angels sinned. Four, they were fully warned. Five, one-third sinned unto Lucifer. And six, God made man. I'm sorry, God had no choice. And seven, God made man. Now, before God made man, there was already a hell. God didn't make hell and say if man goes there. God didn't make man to go to hell. God did not make hell for man nor man for hell. God made hell for the devil and his angel. But now, wait a minute. Let's go back to Pukia. We set the trap for a rat. We caught the rat later on. Him and now. We caught the rat. But first, we caught Pookie. Now, as far as I was concerned, I just didn't get rid of Pookie as the rat. Now, I'm kidding, because Pookie was a beloved dog. He was killed in a car. Our house on the highway, and a car ran over Pookie, and he's been in Zoria now for many years. But, anyway, now, was I trying to catch Pookie? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? No, I tried to catch the what? The rat. But what happened? God made man. Statement number 8, Satan came to man and wanted to drag man to the hell where he was going. He wanted company. He didn't want anybody to enjoy heaven if he had to go to hell. So Lucifer and his angels became the devil and his angels. And that's what they were doing in the Garden of Eden when man was there. And he came to man and said, why don't you do this? And man became proud and man committed the same sin that Lucifer committed. Man said, I'll be my own God. I'll decide what's right and wrong. I'll be God. I'll run my life. I'll be the king of my life. I'll sit on the throne of my heart. I'll make my decisions. I'll do what I want to do. I'll go where I want to go. I'll be what I want to be. And man was seduced by Lucifer to do what he did. And man did what Lucifer did. And man was caught in the trap that was not made for him. I said, number one, God created angels. I said, number two, God made a place of suffering in case they sin. I said, number three, God placed that as the price for sin. I said, number four, they were fully warned. The angels were fully warned. Number five, one-third sinned unto Lucifer. I said, number six, God had no choice because he'd said, this is the penalty of sin. They sinned, and God had no choice. Number seven, I said, God made man. Number eight, I said, Satan came to man and tried to get man and succeeded in getting man to commit the same sin he committed. And because he did, that leads us to number nine. Satan persuaded man to do what he had done. And number ten, the price had already been set. Wait a minute. God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Wherefore, as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. God had already set the penalty for sin. He did not set that penalty originally for man. He set it for the angels, made hell for the angels. If they sin, they sin. And the devil caused man to get in the same trap. Now listen carefully. Hear me now. Hear me now. I'm about to shout, and then hear me. Why didn't God redeem the angels? Why didn't Jesus come to die for the angels? Huh? Same reason we wanted to get the rat and didn't want to get Pookie. When Pookie got caught in that trap, are you listening? I said, Pookie. Whoopsie, whoopsie, Pookie, Wookie. And Pookie said, oh, like this. And I went on the back porch and gently I proceeded to make a plan to get Pookie out of the trap. I didn't care if a rat got in there or not. And God Almighty made angels. He did not make angels in His own likeness. He made them as ministering servants. And when angels sinned, it was not worthy for God to give His only begotten Son to die on Calvary and suffer our hell. But when God saw man get in the trap, God said, I'm going to make a plan to get him loose. And that means God loves you more than God loves Gabriel. And that means that God loves you more than God loves Michael. And that means that our angel who flies in heaven today or comes on earth to do messages as an ambassador of God or to bring messages from God, that angel that came and told Mary about the Messiah in her womb, that angel that came and told Peter that he could be free from prison and unlock the doors of jail, that angel that came and told Joseph not to be afraid that Mary was not pregnant by man, but the Holy Spirit of God had placed the seed in Mary's womb, that angel that came and ministered to Paul in prison, those angels God loves, but not enough to give His Son. But when man, made in the image of his Creator, when man fell into the trap that was not made for man, come now, God in His justice had already said, if you get in that trap, this is for you. Now I say it lovingly. I don't want to be unkind. But if you, because you're a sinner, if you don't take God's way out of the trap, you're going to end up with the devil and his angels. Then should it say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you go to hell, you'll be an intruder. And once in a while somebody says to me, you think a loving God would send anybody to hell? A loving God doesn't send anybody to hell. A loving God made a trap for Satan, and you fell in the trap because you listened to Satan, and because of that, the justice of God must keep His word. And God looked and saw you in the trap and said, I've got to keep you there. But He said, I'll make a plan. And God made a plan whereby He would become flesh. Hear me now. And come to the earth and fall into that trap for you. And in falling in that trap for you, He says, you can come on out. But He won't drag you out. He won't, if you want to stay in that trap, go ahead. If I said it again, you want to get your fall back in there, go ahead. But God said, I didn't make hell for you. I don't want you to go to hell. My righteousness and my veracity demands that I make you pay the penalty. But God made a plan to get man out. Well, when I stop and think that God loves me more than God loves Gabriel, He's had Gabriel all these millions of years. But what God would not do for His angel, God did for you. What God would not do for the archangels, God did for you. And what God would not do for seraphim and cherubim, God did for you. Because God made you like Himself. God said, I did not make angels like myself, but I made man like myself. And as soon as man fell into the trap that was made for the devil and his angels, God said, I will not let Lucifer. Lucifer is condemned to hell forever. And the angels that went with him who tried to take over my throne are condemned to hell forever. But man made in my image, and man the apple of my eye, and man the great love of my life and the love of my heart, I've got to free him from that trap. And there's only one way that man can be freed from the trap and escape the fires of hell. And that way is not the joining a church. Pookie could have joined all the churches in Rusk County in Marshall, Texas, and still been in that trap. Pookie could have got baptized in that trap and still been in that trap. I could have taken the Lord's Supper on the back porch and given it to Pookie and still been in that trap. I made a way. I lifted up that big spring and said, Pookie, take your paw out of the spring. And Pookie said, I think I will. And Pookie had more sense than a lot of you folks. And God
became flesh. His name was Jesus. He never sinned, so he didn't get in the trap.
Now, Pookie accidentally got in the trap, but Jesus did not accidentally get in the trap. He stayed out of the trap. He never sinned. But after 33 perfect years on earth, he said, "Trap,
here I come." And he voluntarily put himself in the trap so he could free you down the city of Oklahoma City. Strange thing happened many, many years ago. And this illustration is not new to you old-timers here. A wild animal, a tiger, got loose in Oklahoma City. Out of the zoo. Frightened everybody in town. Horror gripped the whole neighborhood. Somewhere in this town is a wild tiger loose, a ferocious animal. And somebody got an idea. They got a little lamb and put that lamb at the door of a trap cage. And that tiger saw that lamb, he got hungry. See, a lamb to a tiger is a cheese quarter pounder. And he got hungry. And the lamb was there in the door of that cage made to a trap. And that tiger came and grabbed that lamb. And when he grabbed that lamb, down came the cage, the door. And the tiger was caught. Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God. And the devil said, "I'll get him." And the devil came into the cage and tried to get him. And he did. And the lamb was slain. Why? So you and I would not be afraid of the wild animal running loose, which is called the devil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've learned this morning why there's a hell. You'll never hear it clearer, and most of you never heard it like that. But that's it. We preachers get up and say, "You're going to go to hell if you don't repent." We don't want to say that. We don't like to say that. We wish we didn't have to say it, but it's true. But it wasn't made for you. Number one, God made the angels. Number two, God made a place of suffering. Number three, God placed that as a price on sin if an angel sinned. Number four, they were fully warned. Number five, one-third under Lucifer's sin. Number six, God had no choice but to consign the angels eternally to hell. Number seven, God made man. Number eight, Satan came to man. Number nine, Satan persuaded man to do what he had done and commit the same sin he had committed. Number ten, the price had already been set. Number 11, God had to let man go to hell, though hell was not prepared for man. And number 12, there was one difference. God made man in his own image. And God was willing to break up the Godhead of 33 years so that man could be freed. Now, you got one choice, too. You go ahead and join the church for your salvation, get baptized for your salvation, turn over a new leaf for your salvation, live a good life for your salvation, take communion for your salvation, go ahead, but you'll die and go to hell. Or you can say, "Thank God, Jesus, the Lamb of God, took my place, suffered for me, and set me, not Lucifer, not the angels, not Gabriel, not Michael, but God set me free. A trap that was not made for me, and I'm the object of God's love until God has made that plan." And that plan is when you come to a place in your life where you say, "I cannot save myself, but from this moment forward, I'll rely on Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross as my hope for heaven, and I trust him like I trust a pilot. I'll be flying tomorrow to Florida to preach tomorrow night and Tuesday night. I'll get on a plane, no hair fear. I'll get on that airplane, and it'll be three men up in the cockpit." Now, I am trusting those men to get me to Florida. I don't know how to fly an airplane, and I don't know how to fly without an airplane. I've got one hope to get to Florida, and that's those three men. Only hope I got. Let's suppose that I get up in the air.
36,000 feet or so, and I decide to slap the stewardess across the face. I say, hey, baby, what? Now, where am I going? Florida. I say, well, suppose the pilot comes back and said, did you slap the stewardess? I said, yeah, and did again, too. Whack the pilot. Take the knife and cut his tie off. Take the knife and slice the seat in front of him. Now, where am I going? Florida. Why? Because you don't get to Florida by behaving on an airplane. You can sit on a plane on the ground that has no pilot all day long and behave yourself, and you will still be at O'Hare Field. You get to Florida by saying to those three up there in the front, I'm trusting you. And you don't get to heaven because you live a good life. You get to heaven because you say, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Over life's tempestuous sea, unknown waves before me roll. Be the guardian of my soul. Jesus, you're my pilot, and I trust you to take me to my destination. And that's the way you get freed from the trap. Our Heavenly Father, bless the truth of this message to our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.